Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 24, Worshipping Govardhan Hill, text number 6. Is that true? 6, okay. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani jano ayam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syad yata navidusho bhavet. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani jano yam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syad yatana vidusho bhavet. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani janoyam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syad yata na vidusho bhavet. Gyatva gyatva cha karmani janoyam anutishtati vidusha karma siddhi syad yata na vidusho bhavet. Gyatva, understanding. Agyatva, not understanding. Cha, also. Karmani, activities. Jana, the common people. Ayam, this. Anutishtati, perform. Vidusha, for one who is wise. Karma siddhi, achievement of the intended goal of activity. Syat, arises. Yata, as. Na, not. Avidusha, for one who is foolish. Bhavet, occurs. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing and sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Purport. The Lord here informs His Father that people should perform a particular ceremony or activity only after thoroughly understanding it through discussions with friends. We should not be blind followers of tradition. If a person doesn't even know what he is doing, how can he be successful in his work? This essentially is the Lord's argument in this verse, since Sri Krishna, as the young child of Nanda, would naturally be expected to show enthusiasm for his father's religious activities. It was the father's duty to give the son a thorough explanation of the ceremony. Only one more verse. Tatra tavat kriya yogo bhavatam kim vicharita atava lokikastanme prichata sadubhanyatam. Such being the case, this ritualistic endeavor of yours should be clearly explained to me. It is a ceremony based on spiritual injunction or a scriptural injunction or simply a custom of ordinary society. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhadati Swapradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gyatva Gyatva cha karmani Jano yam anutishtati Vidusha karma siddhisyat Yatana vidusho bhavet When people in this world perform activities, sometimes they understand what they are doing, sometimes they don't. Those who know what they are doing achieve success in their work, whereas ignorant people do not. Hare Krishna. You see, in this verse, it's explained the importance of knowledge, understanding what one should be doing. Prabhupada himself explains that religion without philosophy or without proper understanding is at the least sentimentalism, or at the extreme it can go fanaticism. On the other hand, we see if we are only knowledge-based persons, or we only take on to philosophy, but without having good behavior or proper religious sentiments as such, then it becomes mental speculation. So both ways is important. One should have head knowledge, and one should have heart knowledge, heartfelt emotions. On one hand, if we become head knowledge without heartfelt emotions, it becomes very dry. Life becomes very, very tasteless. It doesn't have much of rasa, or you can call it mellow. We can see, for examples, there are some religious sects that have philosophy, extreme logical philosophers like the Mayavadis, for example. They analyze everything and anything till their brain starts to ache a bit before they take some pills and go to sleep or whatever. But we can see that they have such vast philosophical understanding, but they're not happy because they don't have fulfillment in the heart. On the other hand, we see this kind of people, or the karmakandis, for example. They do sentimental activities. They do activities but with sentiments, without proper understanding, which is also not good. We understand when we may know all the rules and regulations, okay? Like, for example, we might know how to drive a car in the streets, isn't it? We might know how to, you know, okay, when there's red light, we should stop. And when there's green light, we should go. And we might know all this. We might know all philosophical understanding of the roads. But if we don't have a proper goal, and we follow the red light, or we follow the green light, and we want to come to the temple, but we don't have a map as such, we just follow the green light and red light, you might as well not end up in the temple. You might end up somewhere in the casino or somewhere else. Who knows? So, on the other hand, we see there are the sentimentalists, or, you know, the persons who have goals, but they don't know the rules and regulations as such. They're also, on the other viewpoint, they're also not correct, and they're also missing the point. If they don't know that the car should not go when there's a red light, then what will happen? He gets fined, or he gets in big trouble, or whatever. If he doesn't know when to cross the lane, he might even end up having an accident. So both is important. One should have a goal, and one should follow proper prescription rules and regulation according to Shastra. We see there are some religious sects that they are sentimental. Like, for example, we see in our Hindu tradition, people might follow Hindu tradition very nicely, go to the temple, worship Ganesh, worship Brahma, worship Lord Shiva, and so many other personalities, you know. Or they might end up having all the different demigods all over their room, in the temple room. Why? They say that if we don't worship this demigod, then the other demigod will not be happy. So we have to have all the demigods. So if we have all the demigods, then all the demigods will be happy. If we don't have Lord Shiva, and we have Brahman, and then we have four Kumaras, and we have Lord Shiva, we have Kubera and so forth, but if we don't have Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva might be angry. So we might as well have Lord Shiva. So, and they do individual puja, but when they get really lazy, you know, they do one big circle of ghee lamp, and they say, now you share it among all of you. We don't have time over here. So these activities may be out of sentimentalism, without proper understanding. And, you know, sometimes they come to Australia, or they go to America, they get migrated to different countries, and the son may ask, okay, father, please can you tell me, why do we have to go to the temple? Why do we have to ring the bell? And the father goes, well, my grandmother did so, that's why I'm doing it, without proper understanding again. So this can be sentimental in religious activities, but it can also go fanatism, it can go at the extreme. Like, for example, many religious sects may, you know, in the name of God, in the name of religion, they do irreligious activity. Because, you know, they may have, they may quote the Shastra or whatever, they may quote, but they don't see the whole context, and that becomes a problem. Like, for example, in India, for example, people are very well versed in the Karmani Vadikaraste verse. Karmani Vadikaraste Malphaleshu Kadachanam. That one should perform one's prescribed duty. And so they followed this shloka very nicely. They put in their life with full heart, and they perform their activities very nicely, you know. But then they forget the other part of the verse, that the result should be given to Krishna. They forget that. So they may quote the Shastra, but then they don't see the whole context of the Shastra. They don't see the whole context of the verse. They only see the half part portion of the verse. And then, so we can see there may be some different religious groups. They may quote one particular point in the Shastra, and then they say, well, this is what God wants. God says, those who are not in this religion, they're all demons and they should be all killed. That can happen. And that's why there's terrorist attacks, or there's so many different kinds of problems in society. Or even in our own society, for example, the word Ritvikism, You know, they just take it out of context and then they make a whole big philosophy just centering on this small word Ritvikism and causing so much disturbance in the society and causing even, you know, offenses to the Shastra, offenses to the Acharyas, offenses to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada and everyone. So just one word one can, and one can actually base one's whole philosophy on this. So this can be out of sentimental, it could be out of fanatism, and on the other hand, you know, it could be out of mental speculation. Nevertheless, all these aspects are to be checked. We should not be sentimental, we should not be fanatics, neither should be mental speculator. We should have knowledge of the Shastra along with philosophy, along with one's daily sadhana or religious activities, you can call it. When religion and philosophy is combined, then one's practice becomes perfect. So, we see there are, you know, the, in Bhagavad Gita, there's different personalities trying to evolve in spiritually. Like, for example, there's the Karma Yogis, and there's just the Gyanis, and then there's the Yogis. So they are on the ladder, achieving the perfection of goals of life. Like, for example, Karma Yogis or the they do religious activities. Like, for example, there's two parts in Karma Yoga. There's one part Karma Yoga, and then there's another one Nishkama Karma Yoga. Karma Yogis, Karma Kandis, for example. Karma Kandis are demigod worshippers, so they're actually not accepted as properly established in the ladder. Nishkama Karma Yogis are actually the beginning of one's spiritual activities as such. Because Nishkama Karma Yogis, they do activities without any desire for results. Whereas Karma Yogis, they may do activities but for material desires. Nishkama Karma Yogis may do activities but without any desires. They give out the fruits of the results. The Gyanis become superior to the Nishkama Karma Yogis. Why? Because they have a knowledge. They have an understanding. They have a much more understanding. Whereas the Nishkama Karma Yogis may have a preliminary understanding, or they may give the results but without proper understanding. Whereas the Gyanis, they understand, okay, we are not this body and we are the spirit soul. And so they do all analysis trying to find out their spiritual nature. They say, well, this is not this, this is not that, and finally they try to come to the conclusion of the philosophy. So that's why Gyanis are much more superior to the karma yogis or karma kandis. But we see the yogis, they have a much more matured understanding than those of the Gyanis. Because the Gyanis understand aham brahmasmi, but they don't have knowledge beyond that, aham brahmasmi, that we are all spirit soul. They may have that understanding. But the Gyanis understand well, the spirit soul is related with the super soul. And so they have, and that's why their knowledge is a higher knowledge than the Gyanis. And so they dedicate their life they meditate on the super soul as such. Whereas we see the bhaktas or the devotees are greater than the Gyanis, the yogis, or the karmakandis. Why? Because the devotees have complete understanding, they have knowledge of their identity as a spirit soul, they have knowledge of that of the super soul, and on top of that, they have a knowledge of Bhagavan realization, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom the Paramatma feature is manifested. Krishna explains that the devotees have that proper understanding. They have that proper knowledge. We can see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaishya sarve ahameva vedyo. That the conclusion of all knowledge is to know me. And who knows Krishna? Obviously, devotees knows Krishna. That's why the devotee's knowledge is the perfection of all knowledge, realistically speaking. And on top of that, the activities of the devotees are perfectly on the superior level, because their activities are in related with the knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His servant. And the devotee engages one's body, one's mind, one's soul, everything in Krishna's service. That is the culmination of perfection of all knowledge. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that those who know the science of Krishna should spread the glories of Krishna. This shows that one should learn the Siddhanta, or one should learn the conclusion of knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that one should not be foolish. One should actually learn the Siddhanta. One should learn the conclusion of knowledge. One should understand and study. If we don't study, we don't have an understanding. Or if we have children, and if the children ask you, why do we do this? If we don't give valid reason why we should do this or why we should not do this, then the children will mock around you, or they'll take things cheaply. This we see in the Indian community. Many children, unfortunately, unfortunately, they're inquisitive. They want to understand, why should we go to the temple? Why should we offer obeisances to the deities? Why should we see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Unfortunately, because they don't have proper answers, they may not take Krishna consciousness seriously. So it's important that one should develop knowledge. We should not do sentimentally. So here, Lord Shri Krishna is asking Nanda Maharaj. He's asking Nanda Maharaj, why are you performing these activities? And on top, Krishna explains here that, in order to get the answer from Nanda Maharaj, because Nanda Maharaj will think, oh, Krishna is a small boy, so I should just talk to him very, childlike way. But in Krishna, he explains. He says that if some people do activities with proper understanding, some don't do with proper understanding. So here we see that Krishna explains, but if a person does activity with proper understanding, then his goal becomes successful. On the other hand, the ignorant people, they may perform activities, but without proper understanding. But, their activity is not so successful because they are ignorant of the fact what is their goal. So Krishna, in order to get the answer, proper answer from Nanda Maharaj, he presents over here such a way so that Nanda Maharaj has to speak the truth or has to reveal the facts. Or else, if Krishna didn't say that, then Nanda Maharaj would give a childish answer to Krishna, thinking that Krishna was a child. But Nanda Maharaj to give a proper answer, Krishna spoke such a wonderful way. So we see in the next verse, Nanda Maharaj will be actually talking, which we'll be reading tomorrow. Nevertheless, Krishna emphasizes knowledge, proper knowledge. Yes, along with proper knowledge should go with proper behavior. If we don't have that proper behavior and we may have knowledge, then it becomes mental speculation. So that's why Krishna consciousness is culmination of proper behavior, that is, heartfelt emotions and proper knowledge, that is the head knowledge. We should have head knowledge and proper emotions. These two combined makes one Krishna conscious perfect. We see Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized knowledge. How did he emphasize knowledge? He actually explains that ISKCON should start introducing Bhakti Sastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So that's how Srila Prabhupada emphasized knowledge. And by such knowledge, when one culminates such knowledge, then they can put it into practice in our day-to-day life, or our dealings with devotees, or our preaching efforts, and so forth. You know, how we should deal with the devotees, how we should deal with the Lord, how we should deal with general common people. These are religious activities, or you can call proper behavior. So, Prabhupada, he established the sadhana bhakti along with Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Sastri, which goes together. So, we can see how Prabhupada emphasized the importance of knowledge. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada said that my temples are the university which teaches one about the knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of the spirit soul and one's relationship with Krishna. This is the perfection. This is the summum bonum of the Shastra. Abhideya, Prayojana and Sambandha. So, when we have Sambandha, when we have Abhideya, when we have Prayojana, that is the perfection of one's life. One should know who is Krishna, who we are, and what is our relationship with Krishna. Such Sambandha knowledge was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami, after he gave the instruction, he asked Sanatana Goswami to write Hari Bhakti Vilas or other books explaining the behavior of the Vaishnava, explaining the behavior of a devotee. So that's how Hari Bhakti Vilas comes about and so many other scriptures. So we can see Sambandha Gyan is, the guru of the Sambandha Gyan is Sanatana Goswami. So we approach Sanatana Goswami to learn about Krishna, Krishna consciousness and so forth. And in order to put in practice, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself explained Abhideya Gyan or Abhideya knowledge to Rupa Goswami. Abhideya is the process of devotional service. Nectar of Devotion is a book explaining how to develop one's relationship with Krishna, how to perform devotional service in our day-to-day life, and how to, day-to-day life, day after day, week after week, year after year. So that Abhideya Gyan is instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, he is our Abhideya Guru, or the spiritual master instructing us in our relationship with Krishna. And Prayojana, the whole purpose of doing Abhideya, the whole purpose of Sambandha Gyan is Prayojana. What is Prayojana? That is love for Krishna. So, we see the guru or the spiritual master for Prayojana is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was personally associating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secretary for 16 consecutive years in Sri Jagannath Puri. And he learned the art of how to express one's love for Krishna. With Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was there for 16 years. And after his very dear spiritual master, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, passed this world, went to the spiritual realm, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the spiritual realm, Raghunath Das Goswami was going to commit suicide by jumping off Govardhan Hill. He went to Vrindavan, ready to commit suicide. But Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami stopped him. Rupa and Sanatana said, "You should not do this." Rupa and Sanatana said that If you give up your life, then who will explain the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because if we look at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities, the majority of his activities was, major portion of his activity was his love for Krishna. That was expressed by Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us the true love that Srimati Radharani has for Krishna. That is the perfection of knowledge. Before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, people couldn't understand Radha and Krishna. They couldn't understand the worship of Radha and Krishna. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, to teach one the love that Srimati Radharani showed to Krishna. This is the prayojana for the Gaudiya Vaishnava, that is love for Radha and Krishna, love Krishna through the representative of Srimati Radharani. And Raghunath Das Goswami teaches this, and he is our prayojana guru. The purpose of all the knowledge is to develop one's love for Krishna. If one doesn't develop love for Krishna, then their knowledge is useless. The purpose of one's behavior, or you can call the religious activities, is to develop love for Krishna. So both religion and philosophy culminate together should express one's love for Krishna. If it doesn't express one's love for Krishna, then one's religion is useless, one's knowledge is useless. And that is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. The teaching of Bhagavad Gita ultimately teaches one to surrender to Krishna. So here we see that Krishna explains, knowledge is important. You know, we should not do activities sentimentally. We should do with proper understanding. We should understand what is our goal. We should understand who the goal is and how should we approach him. These three combined. So, by doing all this perfectly, understanding Krishna is our goal and the process of devotional service is the means by achieving our goal, then everything becomes, once knowledge becomes successful, once philosophy becomes successful, once religious activities become successful. Sometimes it happens that one may be illiterate or one may not have such religious inclination, but nevertheless, if one engages in devotional service sincerely, 100%, then Krishna within you, he gives you that knowledge. Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. I give them, for my devotees, the knowledge. We can see when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he came to Sri Rangam. As he came to Sri Rangam, he saw a Brahmana, he was crying. And around the Brahmana were all the learned pundits, learned scholars. They were mocking around this Brahmana. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering, why is the Brahmana crying? I should go and approach him and see what is his intention, how I can help him. So as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached the Brahmana, asked the Brahmana, why are you crying? Brahmana explained, well, I am trying to follow the instruction of my spiritual master. Unfortunately, I am illiterate. But nevertheless, my spiritual master asked me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And I'm trying to read that. And then he said, that is not my real problem. The Brahmana said, but I'm crying because I'm trying to understand how is it that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all the creation, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and who is the Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvalokamayashwaram So who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices and religious activities? Who is the lord of all the planets? Who is the well-wishing friend of everyone? Is driving the chariot of his own servant, Arjuna. That's, I can't understand the greatness of Lord Krishna. That is why I'm crying. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you have actually understood the conclusion of all knowledge. This is the purport of the Vaidyasya Sarvai verse. The purport of the Vaidyasya Sarvai verse is in the story of that Brahmana who could understand the purpose of reading Bhagavad Gita. In every page of Bhagavad Gita, he could see that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was driving the chariot of his own servant. This is the that is the ultimate conclusion of Prema Bhakti. The ultimate conclusion of Prema Bhakti is Sri Krishna Karshani Karshata, that Krishna becomes conquered by his devotee's love, and that Krishna serves his devotee. This is the perfection of all knowledge. This is ultimately starting with the basics ABC, and then eventually to PhD. That is love for Krishna, and the perfection of that love is that Krishna is willing to serve his own devotee. Thank you very much. Is there any comments, Prabhuji, Keshava Prabhu, Gyanasamudra Prabhu? Prabhu. Got any comments? Yeah? Any questions? Yes, Prabhuji?
Sometimes Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna that he should perform Kama Yoga.
Yes.
Sometimes Jnana Yoga. So how can we understand that Krishna is giving him?
Yeah, as His Holiness Bhanu Swami explained past few lectures, he explains that Krishna explains that karma yoga is the best process, and on another time he says that jnana yoga is the best process, and then on another time he says that devotional service is the best process. And what happens is you get confused. There's so many contradictions in the shastra. But in order to resolve all this contradiction, one must approach acharya. That's what Maharaj explains. The acharya can understand what is the most important instructions given in Bhagavad Gita, and he can reveal that knowledge to you. The acharyas have that full realization, and he's able to explain. Okay, superior to the karma yoga is jnana yoga, and superior to jnana yoga is yoga itself, and superior to that is devotional service. Acharyas can explain. Like for example, in karma yoga, one may do one's activity externally, but internally, who knows what is there? They don't perform activities. On the other hand, jnanis are superior because they perform activities internally. They have some spiritual inclination. They have spiritual inclination internally. Whereas the karma yogis, they have spiritual inclination only externally. But jnanis are superior because they have knowledge. And more superior is the yogis because they have a higher knowledge, and they actually focus and they have internal meditation on the Paramatma. And more superior is the devotional service, because why? Devotional service is external and internal feature. It culminates the perfection of all knowledge, and it is the perfection of all meditation. So devotional service, and on top of that, devotional service has that loving reciprocation, that love expressed. So devotional service covers up all. Jnana, it covers up karma, it covers up yoga. And that's how devotional service stands supreme. Yeah? Then devotees are able to explain that actually devotional service is superior to jnana, superior to karma, and so forth. The acharyas, basically. There any comments or questions? No. Grantaraj, is you want to say, bro?
No. One question.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, like many people have come to that knowledge, a combination of knowledge in their services, perhaps, and but still fallen away.
Still
fallen away. There must be many stories of it, and you could probably think of a few yourself of people who have dedicated a portion of their life.
Yes.
And they've been in this knowledge.
Yes.
They've discussed this knowledge.
Yes.
For many, many years, but still they've fallen away.
Yeah. Well, Krishna's energy is so powerful. If one tries to fight against Krishna's energy by one's own self, it's impossible. Knowledge will not help them fight against Maya, and one's activities will not help them fight against Maya. Really, what helps us fight against Maya by taking shelter of Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna's name, and Krishna's books like such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. We take shelter of his Krishna's devotee very sincerely, then it is possible that we can stay in Krishna consciousness day after day, week after week, year after year. We just have to follow the process sincerely. And if Maya affects us, we have to do about it accordingly in Krishna conscious way. If we don't do it in Krishna conscious way, then we'll have to then what happens is the devotees get too frustrated and they leave Krishna consciousness just to get that particular object. So it is important that we do it in a Krishna conscious way. Even if we have problem, we should do it in a Krishna conscious way. That's why we approach a spiritual master. As Srila Prabhupada explains, the purpose of Arjuna's approaching Krishna was to cure the perplexities that he has undergone. So Arjuna admitted, yes, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, I'm in a perplexed situation, please help me. And Krishna did help him. So we should do that, we should approach. That requires humility, obviously. Humility makes us easily accessible to other devotees, and makes us easily appreciate devotional service. If we don't have that humility, if we have that pride, then it makes us difficult to approach other devotees. It makes us difficult to appreciate Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, and we become too attached to Maya. And we see, like for example, in Shastric example, that is of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj should not be criticized. Should not be actually seen. Should not be seen as a criticism just because he fell down, because that is an aparad. But nevertheless, Bharat Maharaj, he shows by his example, he was in such an elevated stage, that is bhava bhakti. But nevertheless, the only reason he fell down is because of his previous offense. Srila Prabhupada explains that. And he didn't actually follow the instruction of his spiritual master. He actually, and also you can say that he disassociated with devotees. So anyway, ultimately, if we follow the process sincerely with proper understanding, with rules and regulation. The purpose of rules and regulation is to keep us in line to remember Krishna and never forget him. So if we do this properly, then we can actually survive the miserable onslaught of the illusory energy in outside world. So we just need to take shelter of Krishna, Krishna's knowledge, in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and Krishna's devotees, and Krishna Prasadam. And we should actually derive taste in it. If we don't derive that taste, then we're surely going to give up Krishna conscious. And nevertheless, Krishna says, even though such devotees fall down, if they practice Krishna consciousness long, long time, Krishna says that I put them in a very good situation. I give them birth in a devotee family who are great in transcendental wisdom. And what Krishna says is that I give them the memory of their previous life, that is, and they naturally become inclined with transcendental mysticism, transcendental knowledge, transcendental process, that is Krishna conscious, and they can perfect their life within that very same life. That is example of Jat Bharat. So devotees might unfortunately fall down, but nevertheless Krishna, he will help them, he will bring them back back home, back to Godhead. May not be this life, maybe next life, who knows. Depends also on the gravity of his offense or his aparads or sins, whatever. And we should also guard ourselves from aparad and sins. Yes, Matiji.
I'm sorry. I came to Canada and mentioned Abhideya, Gyan, and Prayojana, and I just wasn't sure of the word Abhideya. And secondly, did the deities come in existence even though God is eternal and duty is a representation of the Lord? Did the deity worship come in after the six Goswami?
As far as I understand, there was deity worship before, even six Goswamis. There was the worship of Lord Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra, the Tota Gopinath, Shir Chor Gopinath. But then the six Goswamis actually established Radha Krishna worship, which wasn't so much existent prior to that. Under the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they established Radha Madhamohan temple, Radha Govind temple, Radha Gopinath temple, and so many other temples, Radha Raman temple. So the Radha Krishna worship actually started after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, really, realistically. Before that, there was no Radha Krishna worship. There were worship of Lord Vishnu and Jagannath and so forth. But Radha Krishna worship was introduced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the representative of six Goswamis. Abhideya is the process of devotional service. Okay. Thank you very much. Granted Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaura Premanande.